Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 1. We'll be picking up where we left off, as well as reviewing, as well as adding to, and no idea what will happen after that. So if you weren't here 2 weeks ago, we'll catch you up real quick. John chapter 1, if you look there with me, in John 1, and we'll read, let's go ahead and stand one more time, John chapter 1, and like I said, we'll review just a little, it'll sort of all merge together, I believe, here. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Let's pray. Father, would you come in the name of Jesus? Lord, we do thank you that we're able to be here. We thank you have called us into this glorious grace. We thank you that to those who perhaps have not heard that call, but you have placed them still under the preaching, that we pray for mercy that they would hear that call. Lord, we thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Lord, help us to leave today with an understanding of who we are, who you are, and what needs to be done in our heart. We thank you for what you have already done. We ask now that we would settle in, put the world outside these four walls for a time, and all the pandemonium and madness, and that hearts of stone outside would not distract us from the Word inside. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Well, if you were here a couple weeks ago, we had started in John 1, We made reference to Genesis 1, that Genesis 1 was a marked beginning of time, in the beginning, as opposed to John 1, which is a time which we would have to call before time, before marked time. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, before any understanding of time, we know that by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He spoke, and it was done. We also made mention that even before this moment of speaking the worlds into existence, that he told us in Ephesians that from the foundation of the world, from before that moment of speech, that he chose us in him, by himself, for himself. As he read, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That is not fatalistic, it is hopeful. And it is grace. John 1 shows us that before beginning was Christ. That he did not show up in Bethlehem a new creature. That we lost nothing in Bethlehem, but we gained now God in the flesh. We saw that Christ is divine and has always been divine. That the restoration of man was to be accomplished by the Son of God. And we are told that by him, by his power, all things were created. He alone breathes into man the breath of life. We understand that our total faith in life and death rests upon God the Word. In beginning, before any understanding of time at all, we already have Christ. Christ, the final spokesman of God. God, the one who utters all God has to say concerning Christ. This morning, starting from that point, as we move on through John today, we see the phrase again in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That phrase, in beginning, is a time before human time or reckoning. God, the Trinity, by the Word, by Christ, God was revealed to us by the spoken word of Christ. And God, the Word, Christ, is the member of the Godhead that revealed God to us. To me, that is magnificent. The Word transmits all that has ever been known of God outside of nature. Nature, the creation, suffers or groans under a curse as to make nature an imperfect witness. But we don't have to worry about that. That's why the religion of nature, by the way, is faulty, heretical, and blasphemous. Because Hebrews 1:2 says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, not by the birds and the trees or the patterns of the weather.
or the climate. So Christ existed. The Son of God existed, subsisted as a full member of the Trinity. He was not just in God. That would be bad doctrine. He was God. And as far as the Trinity is to be understood, all we can say was in this great intimate communion. We also stress that as Christ was in existence from eternity past, that we were chosen before these foundations of the world, as we read in Ephesians. Why is that so important? Because nothing happened in this material creation that had anything to do with the grace of God coming to you or to me. So we see the relation of Christ to time in the beginning, or in beginning, eternal. We see the relation of Christ to the Godhead, that He's with God, one of the Trinity. And we see the relation of Christ to the Trinity. He was the Word. The Word was God. He was the revealer of God. Christ, the Word, spoke and revealed God to us by creating the worlds. John 1:2 says, "The same was in the beginning with God." The verse stresses unity, yet distinctness, and the distinctness of Christ. John Gill said this is a repetition of what is before said and is made to show the importance of the truths before delivered, namely, the eternity of Christ, His distinct personality and proper deity, and that the phrase "in the beginning" is to be joined to each of the above sentences, and so proves not only His eternal existence, but His eternal existence with the Father, and also His eternal deity, and is also made to carry on the thread of discourse concerning the Word, and not God the Father, and to express not only His coexistence that we see in nature, but His cooperation in the works of creation next mentioned in Scripture. Verse 3 said, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Verse 1, 2, and 3 gives us the eternal Christ. We see this relation of Christ to the universe as the Creator. Ephesians 3:9 says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Colossians 1:16, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." So again, who is He? Who is this? What is this we're thinking of here? Again, Hebrews 1:2, "hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Revelation 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Radical environmentalists don't understand that the worlds were created for his pleasure. Whether it be the flower, whether it be the mountains, whether it be the desert flower, whether it be a spring day or a winter snow, they were created for his pleasure, for him. Verse 3 says, And all things were made by him. All things. That Greek word is amazingly, that phrase, significant. It brings the idea, all things. It brings the idea of severally or infinite detail of creation. It brings the idea of the finite, all things. It does not use the word for just the generic world or the scheme or general, but every single thing. The panta is every single, every tiny, finite, little thing, all things, all every single tiny molecule thing. All things were made by him. And if every single molecule, finite thing was made by him, then by virtue of everything being made by him, that means every single thing that was made by him is subject to its creator. Including any virus, including any election or protest or counter-protest or campaign. He says, I've made all things, every single, every individual, everything, and everything that's made up of things I've created. And it's subject to me. What does that bring to us? It brings peace. We can leave now and in peace. Knowing that every part of this universe is under the sovereign hand of God. Whether we like what it is doing or not. Every single thing. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. The phrase were made literally is to come into being. Everything that came from nothing into something was made by God. It came from nothingness into being. From nowhere to somewhere. From non-existence to existence. If you go in Genesis, the ex nihilo coming from no place. No void, no darkness, no nothing, just didn't exist. To existing. Using no material products, God spoke the worlds into existence. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. We said in John 1:1 that there was absolute being expressed. In the beginning was the Word. In beginning, Christ, the Word. All things were made by this Creator. Revelation 14:7, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Mark 10:6, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. All things came into being through the word. So why do we bring these verses out? Because he settled everything the very first week. He settled who made the heavens. He settled who made the earth. He settled who made the creeping things and the fowls of the air and the beasts and the cattle. He settled not only that, but he also settled, after, while he made them, their individual characteristics of male and female. It's been settled. There is no argument. I would be concerned if the pastor of this church, if the elders got together and said, we will have to have a 2-year study to decide what is male and female. It's already been decided. There's nothing to study. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. All things came into being through the word. And verse 3 told us not only that, but without him was not anything made that was made. Without him. What does that mean, without him? Apart from him. That means without him, apart from Christ, there is nothing that can be made, has been made, will be made, not made. That also means that you can't make one gender into another gender, because you can't make a new gender. Can't make anything apart from Christ. And you can't make anything against the creation. And so we have what we have, and that's what we have. Without him, apart from him. Without him. John 15:5 says, without me, you can do nothing. Christ was not, if you get anything this morning, get this. Christ was not a subordinate instrument. Matthew Henry calls him a coordinate agent. He wasn't just some tool that God used. Jeremiah 10 says, he hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. So much for our wisdom. Seed time and harvest. Seasons and seasons. They say, well, what about all these studies that are being done about the earth? Well, some studies are pretty simple. You pour gasoline in the river, that kind of hurts everything. That's kind of common sense. I mean, you burn enough stuff around your house, you can't breathe. Some of you burn poison ivy and you figured that out the hard way. There are certain things you figure out. You don't pour kerosene in your well. Or you shouldn't. If you squirt the garden with the wrong stuff, you can't eat what you've been squirting. That's common sense. But he stretched out the heavens at his discretion. He has made this creation at his discretion. And this creation will continue until he says, no mas. That's Greek for no more. Well, not Greek. Don't pour kerosene in the well. Don't pour gasoline in the river. And don't ruin your garden. But we don't allow ourselves to be subject to the creation. We are subject to Christ. And he created the creation for us to subdue it, to keep, to guard, to protect, to be a good steward, to use it to the glory of God, for the edification of His people. Why is this included in this? Because it would seem to me that He made everything for a purpose, and He did not make everything to be Lord over us. He said, subdue it. Take dominion over it. You can take dominion over a mule, but if you kill him, he's of no use to you. And there's probably not much worse than a dead mule laying in the yard. So what do? With the mule? You have to feed it. And you have to water it. And figure out how to train it. And utilize the strength that the mule has. Because he can serve you. How much better the rest of the world? So he did not create all these things at his discretion so they would be Lord over us, but each, every single tiny, finite, individual thing that we could figure out a way to have stewardship over them. This is not the message today, but just remind you that the religion of the green dragon is very prevalent today. And modern day Baal worship is radical environmentalism, hooked on with abortion and pro-sodomite agenda and more than that. So we see in verse 3, all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. That conquers evolution just right there. Because when He spoke the worlds into existence, He didn't speak a system into existence. When Genesis is very clear about what was created and how it was created, it was God that was doing the creating. And Adam was in the garden and the animals existed. And He named. You can't name animals that haven't evolved yet. It is amazing how much you can conquer with just a few verses of Scripture. I would urge you, when someone says, have you read this book on this subject? Say, well, have you read Genesis on that subject? Have you read John 1 on that subject? Let's start with Scripture before we corrupt ourselves with a lot of philosophy about Scripture. Verse 3, was not anything made that was made. Not one thing of all things. Male and female created. No other gender created. All perversions have come as a result of the fall, as a result of the curse. I've started to get a habit from your pastor. Have you ever asked him what was the problem before? I have. I don't ask him anymore. His answer is always the same. I say, so what happened? He says, well, it started in the garden. And it was this serpent. It's always the same answer you give me. What was he saying? He goes, brother, it's because of the curse. Radical environmentalism came because of the curse. Sodomites have come because of the curse. Abortion has come because of the curse. Totalitarian governments have come because of the curse. Viruses have come because of the curse. Yeah, but there's a conspiracy. Yeah, there was a conspiracy in the garden too. Live with it. Deal with it. Get a grip. Because we're going to have them till we're gone. All perversions have come as a result of the fall, as the curse. Christ existed and subsisted from all eternity past, was very much the Word, was with God, and was God. The Word revealed God by an act of speech in the creating of all things. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things are made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The eternal Christ, the Word, the divine speech, the living expression of God's nature and character, Christ, the Word, the revealer of God and His saving purposes. The Word is God and with God, distinct yet with the Father. Christ, the Word, not created but existed from eternity, and when He spoke, made from nothing all things. So why do you keep repeating yourself? Because it's important. Because if we can get that, just those little tiny bits of truth, you won't fret about evolution. You won't worry about viruses. All this stuff will be under your feet. And you'll say, I don't even understand half this stuff, but I know that nothing can exist without Christ, and Christ is in charge. He'll make the enemies His footstool. I have the victory in Christ. I got nothing to worry about. Except we live on a fallen planet. And it's only by the grace of God that these things don't happen to us. And if they do happen to us, then it's to the praise, honor, and glory to God. Job's declaration was much weightier than perhaps even he had imagined. When he said in 19:25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." I don't know what Job knew, but what an amazing thing for Job to say. I know He liveth. John 1 hadn't even been written. But he knew. In the beginning was the Word. And that was Christ. That was our Redeemer. Verse 3 reminds us that Christ was the Creator, and in Him was life. In Him, Christ, Creator, verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Ephesians 2:5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Quickened. We are made alive together with Christ. When God quickens you, you are not just zapped and turned on and sent into the world. No, you have been quickened. You've been made alive together with Jesus Christ. The creation of the world, we see there was void. There was darkness. We see that God said, let there be light. We see here in Him was life. In Him. The fountain, the origin, and the originator. Life begins in Him. Life begins in Him. So when He said void and darkness was upon the face of the deep, the only life that would come to this planet was the light that would come from Him. And He said, let there be light. All life. The origination of all life comes from Him. That word life. That Zoe, that word life. It's live. It's quick. It's alive. And there's an interesting thing about this word life. In Him was life. That word life could rightfully be said is a word that means there's no deadness in Him. That's a different way to look at the word life, isn't it? In Him is life. In Him is no death. In Him there is no deadness in the life of Christ and the life that He brings. You ever have someone come in the room and say, well, He's the life of the party. Boy, I tell you, he really brings life to this thing. But in him is some death. We can come in, make a joke, and glad hand, shake hands, high five, elbow, whatever we do now. But it's really not real life, is it? It's some life. I mean, a guy dying of cancer can rally for the day and bring some life to the party. But in him is a lot of death. But not in Christ. In him is life. And he says that life is no deadness. There's no death and there's no darkness. The creation was void, dark. But Christ said, let there be light. In him was life, and the life was the light of man, the fountain, the origin, the originator. Life begins in him. So Christ, the creator, the life, he produced, he created. We'd see later on, and I'll mention it again, but we'll see later on in John, Christ, who is hidden in the bosom of the Father from eternity past, would speak the worlds into existence, thereby revealing God to us and revealing Christ to mankind. He was hidden, spoke, revealed, created. Genesis 1:20 says, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath what? Life. And fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Acts 17:25 said, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. There is no life on this planet that ever has been and there ever will be outside of the power of Christ. We don't have a dead God. I know that my Redeemer liveth. We serve a living Savior. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. It is because of that life that we can never live. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Christ, the original, the essential, the living Word. I'm going to read and we'll get ready to close because I don't want to go any further this morning. We have another time together. But when you read John 1, I want you to always remember this. That when you read John 1, you're reading before Genesis 1. You're reading about a time that we have not measured, we cannot measure, we cannot see, we cannot define. But some point before any understandable time, in beginning was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, but not only that, and the Word was God. Christ, the same was in the beginning with God. And if you stop in verse 2 and remember that in Ephesians he says, right about this point, somewhere in this point here, before the foundation of the world, all of a sudden you, who are a child of God, right here, you can say, I think it was right about here. That's when I was chosen. And he hadn't even done anything. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. See, I don't like that English. It's difficult. All right. Without him was nothing. That's better for you? Not anything made. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That was made. What they don't know as they burn buildings down, that without him, they would not be here. What they don't know as they murder people in the streets of this country is without him, they would not be here. As they race towards vaccines and research, what they don't understand is whatever the virus is would not exist without him. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. If you're here this morning and you are still in darkness, then that light has not come into your world. It's a radical takeover. It's one that once he penetrates, it is irresistible. It cannot be driven back. And the fact that he has come, he means he's come to stay. In a moment, we'll pray. Hopefully you'll stay and eat with us. Hopefully you'll be back for the next service. For some reason, perhaps you might not be able to be here. But I'd like to give you this thought before you go. Where he is, there is no darkness at all. And if there is darkness in your life that cannot be driven away, whether it's confusion or despair or sin or depression, whatever you want to call it, then that must be absent Christ. Then I would come to him for mercy. Come and lay at the foot of the Son of God and say, there is darkness in my life and I need the light of Christ. And perhaps it is because he has never come and driven the darkness away. Father, we ask you to bless our time today. Lord, we can go on. I believe this is enough. We know that all things were created by you. There's lots of things we don't understand about the creation, about the little things, about the big things. People like to give the devil a lot of credit. But I recall you saying to the storm, peace be still. I recall you saying that one was born blind, so that it be to the glory of God. I remember you saying, stretch forth thine hand, healing lepers. So I don't want to give the devil any credit. But I want to say I understand. You drove them out of the garden. And we were cursed. And all creation groaneth. And even the evil for such a day. Lord, we can't pretend to understand all that. What we can understand is this, that you are sovereign. And even in things that we would believe would be grievous to you, you would use to your own glory. And that in some way, lost man we pushed to the brink, shown his sin as Nebuchadnezzar was, that we would lift our eyes to heaven and say that you sit on the throne. And that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let us flee the darkness. Let us turn from the power of Satan unto God. Let us repent from sin unto Christ. Turn from darkness to light, from death unto life. Let us see the patches of darkness in our own life and bring in the light of God to drive the darkness away. Lord, we thank you that we're not an accident. We thank you that nothing is an accident to you, that there's no emergencies in the throne room, that you don't need a medical briefing, that you don't need a political meeting, that these things are subject to you. And you set up the kingdom of men who you will. Lord, help us now. If you want to be faithful, you want to walk humbly with our God, you want to see ourselves in the sight of you, that you would search us and try us. Show us our iniquities, that we may confess these things. And you said if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, help those who don't know you to know you today in Jesus' name. Amen.